Oh my God. Chloe, would you like to tell them what you pulled out of your purse today?
No.
We were sitting in the kitchen, and I look behind me, and Chloe's holding a can of frosting that she has produced from her purse.
And I look at her, and I'm just like...
And she's just eating it.
She's trying to hide it from me.
Like, I didn't try to hide it. You're...
I want to also take into account that this can is half gone.
Oh.
I've been eating it over the course of a week. Also, I can smell that I'm going to hate this tea, so I need some kind of coping mechanism.
Yeah, we have already made a decision that Chloe is not going to like the tea this week.
Yeah, we predetermined that before we even brewed it.
And yet you brewed it anyway.
Hip, hip, hooray. Welcome to Spooky Time Tea, everyone, the show where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders and mysteries, and everything in between, all while enjoying a cup of tea, like a tea party. But spooky.
Ooh.
Very good.
You're stealing my frosting again.
I haven't gotten a bite yet.
Don't get your tea in my frosting.
As soon as you pulled it out of your purse, it became communal frosting.
You know,
okay.
I just totally realized we left the candle burning in here.
Whoops.
So we almost burnt down the podcast studio today.
Oops.
You left it burning under the soundproofing padding, too. Like, that could catch fire.
Oh, my God.
Next to the electrical outlets. Like, this thing.
The breaker box?
Sure.
Didn't say I was the brightest today, okay?
We all almost died in Monstober.
All right, Kat, so what are we drinking today?
So today, we are drinking a Russian tea. Where did it come from, Kitty? You pulled this out of the cabinet.
So
it came from her cabinet.
Okay, thank you, Chloe.
I actually was gifted this from a old coworker.
Okay.
When I lived in Maryland.
Oh. Okay.
And she's from Russia, so actually had like this brand new like bag, and she gifted it to me. Like,
oh, that's sweet. Really nice. Okay, well, so this is a genuine Russian tea. Mm-hmm. Called Tsar Nicholas II. It is just a black tea, but it smells amazing, and I've been really excited to try it. So that is what we are drinking this week.
Agree to disagree.
Chloe's not excited. We agreed way earlier that she's going to hate this tea.
It's like, it's basically like your typical black tea kind of.
Oh, I hate it.
Yep.
I hate it.
I'm not a fan yet either. I'm going to put more honey in it, though.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's not.
It's very citrusy.
I need more frosting.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It's got a little bit of the bitter to it. Like, it's like an orange peel or...
That's called a rind?
Yes, it's rind, okay. But it's also a pill, because you peel...
It's my job to tea-splain, all right? I'm sorry, do you mean peel?
Peel.
This show has just turned out shitting on Kitty's pronunciation of words.
Screw you guys.
Okay.
You guys don't seem to like it, so just leave it.
I know I like it.
I don't.
I just needed more honey. I didn't put enough honey in it. See, now I like it.
Peel. Are you happy now?
Preface. We are just going to be an argument over words for the next hour. Chloe has to leave.
Okay.
I actually don't really care how it's pronounced because it's all the same word. It means the same
thing
anyway.
Potato.
There you go.
Tomato, tomato. So screw you both.
As my little brother Silas would say, tomato, potato.
I'm going to just be sitting here quietly and not saying
no. Oh, no. Kitty, we love you.
We're going to miss your commentary.
Oh, by the way, I'm Kat.
I'm Chloe.
I don't know my name, apparently. I don't know how to say anything.
That's Kitty.
Good luck telling us apart.
It'll never happen.
Nope. So do you guys want to know what we're talking about today?
So badly.
We are talking about the one, the only, Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
This is one of my favorites.
This is my all-time favorite story. It is well known amongst my friend group that I want to move to Sleepy Hollow, New York, more than I want oxygen in my lungs.
Oh, yeah, no, she has a whole plan. She's going to move to Sleepy Hollow and open a tea shop.
Yes. I love The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It is one of my all-time favorite legends, books, short stories, really, movies of all time.
I absolutely love the movie. I love the movie.
Don't know if Chloe could watch it, but...
I haven't seen it. Oh, I'd die for Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Look, here's the thing.
Johnny Depp.
Here's the thing. More often than not, my boy crazy overrides my fear.
Okay. And it's a good Johnny Depp movie. And
he's young and very, very,
ooh,
very
young
sexy.
Johnny Depp?
Oh,
hell
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
Okay, so let us begin with Washington Irving. So... Born April 3rd, 1783 in Manhattan to William Irving Sr. and Sarah. I couldn't get a clarification of her last name. I think her last name was Saunders before she was married, obviously, but that was kind of questionable. So,
women's maiden names didn't matter back then.
Not really. So, Washington Irving lived most of his life in Manhattan. I was actually kind of surprised by this because he was a huge fan of Tarrytown, New York, which is where Sleepy Hollow is, along the Hudson River. And I thought he had spent most of his life there, but he actually spent most of it in New York, and he was born to a family of merchants. He debuted as an author with a series of observational letters called Morning Chronicle, written under a pseudonym, Jonathan Oldstyle. Yeah, Jonathan Oldstyle in 1802. And he went off to England for a little while to help with the family business in 1815, where he wrote and became famous in England for the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon Gent. And he, I vaguely remember this, and I forgot to put it in my notes, but he was one of the first Americans to be acclaimed in England for his writing. And that came out in 1820. That's when that book came out. He was most obviously well known for The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Rip Van Winkle, a couple other short stories. He didn't really write big long novels.
Yeah, that's
literary works. Just short stories, but they were all amazing short stories, and I love all of them. I did not know this until I started digging a little further, but he encouraged a lot of very well-known authors, including Nathaniel Hawthorne, Lord Byron, who we talked about earlier, who some shit, Charles Dickens, Edgar Allan Poe, and many others.
Really?
He encouraged them. He helped them. He was friends with a couple of them, most of them, actually.
Wait, so he was friends Small with Poe? World.
Well, he might have encouraged him.
He might have encouraged him. I don't know.
Or at least was like an influence.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely an influence. Yeah. Oh, this is what I was talking about. I think last episode I had mentioned he was very vocal and advocated writing to be a legitimate profession, as well as promoting stronger laws to protect copyright infringement against authors.
Cough, Lord Byron.
Yeah, for real. Cough, Lord Byron, we're looking at you.
I want to.
He can't steal anymore because he did. But yeah,
if I could fight anyone in the afterlife, he's on the list.
Yeah.
He was a sleazeball.
Mm-hmm. He's
so was Thomas Edison.
So was almost everybody.
True.
Ever.
True.
In any existence of human history.
Everybody?
Sleazeballs. I said almost.
I was like,
Almost everybody. But anyway,
no
yes.
No one is a saint.
He was, he truly wanted people to take writing seriously, which I appreciate because that's something in my life that I feel like I struggled with growing up. I don't know why. He wrote for most of his life. In fact, he wrote a 5-volume biography on George Washington 8 months before passing away at the age of 76 in none other than Tarrytown, New York.
You know, that's impressive. Damn. That he was 76, because a lot of people died a lot earlier than
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he lived a very interesting life. He loved Tarrytown. Mm-hmm.
Are you Washington Irving reincarnated?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry to tell you this way. But anyway, okay. So, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I don't know what happened to the first bullet point here, but I feel like it was not what I intended to put here. But The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was included in the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon Gent, 1820, and it was the longest story within this collection of short stories. It is a tale surrounding the lore of the Headless Horseman, believed to be a Hessian soldier whose head was blown off by a cannon while in battle. Now, I didn't know this. I always had figured the Headless Horseman was some mythical being that was made up specifically for this story, but the Headless Horseman, the lore and the being of the Headless Horseman is very popular in Northern European storytelling, usually as omens and specifically targeted at pompous, arrogant, or proud characters. We'll get back to this later. Because if you know the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the original Legend of Sleepy Hollow, you know Ichabod Crane.
Oh, I know. Yes. I know of the Disney version with Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Yes, yes. Very good.
I'm a child.
It's okay. We love you.
Yes.
Yes, he was. As I said, headless horsemen were very popular in Northern European storytelling. I'll talk about later what all they can be seen in. They've been seen all over Europe. So it's kind of crazy how deep that
the lore
goes. But anyway, During the American Revolutionary War, Irving is quoted saying the country surrounding Tarrytown, New York was one of the, quote, was one of the those highly favored places which abound with chronicle and great men. The British and American line had run near it during the war. It had, therefore, been the scene of mortaring and infested with refugees, cowboys, and all kinds of border chivalry. He was a big fan of the countryside, unquote. He was a big fan of the countryside. he loved Tarrytown. It was rural New York, was a big fan. He was found it comforting. It was like a home to him, which is crazy to me because he grew up in Manhattan, one of the busiest places in the world. The Battle of White Plains in 1776. White Plains is very close to Tarrytown, very close to Sleepy Hollow. There was a stretch of land near the Bronx River, and it was left as a no man's land during the war, and was vulnerable to outlaws, raiders, and vigilantes. Not a lot of people, and by people I mean soldiers, roamed around here because it was kind of infested with bad dudes that wanted to take out whoever. Mm-hmm. However, besides a handful of brave men, the Hessian, I believe this word is pronounced Jaegers, but I cannot. I forgot to look it up to make sure I was pronouncing that correctly, so
we're gonna go with Jaegers.
Is it like almost spelt like Jägermeister?
Yeah, it's Jaegers.
That sounds like
Jaegers. Yeah, so yeah. That's what I'm going with is Jaegers. These were groups of gallivanting sharpshooters on horseback, usually German, and they often fought off Patriot militia.
If it's German, it's definitely Jaegers.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. For sure. That's why I was just like, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, because I'm pretty sure this is how it is, but
she doesn't want to be like me.
Anyway, yes, these were groups of sharpshooters on horseback that were usually fighting off the Patriot militia. They were known to be very violent and all that good stuff.
They sound militia, lovely.
So they sound like they would be kind
of
violent.
They fought off Patriot militia.
Oh, okay.
But they were the only ones that really kind of went around this, like, bleak countryside because nobody else wanted to because everyone else out there was dangerous.
That's nice.
So going back to the horsemen and where they have been seen in history, they have actually been seen in Brothers Grimm. There's a story or two where they pop up. In various Dutch and Irish lore, often depicted as grim reaper-like creatures that are holding their heads, and these can also be traced back to Middle Ages. However, the specific headless horseman that is traced back to Legend of Sleepy Hollow has a very specific backstory, which I did not know. The jack-o'-lantern thing was because of the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Irving just kind of threw that in there.
Do you mean, like, the jackal? Like, are you talking about, like, the whole, like...
Like, he has a jack-o'-lantern for a head.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, okay. He has a jack-o'-lantern for a head. He carries it around looking for his head is the whole thing.
Okay. Real quick note on the Brothers Grimm. Mm-hmm. They didn't write jack shit. They stole all their stories.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They just took all of these stories from, like, all over the place and made them their own versions and bound it into a book and sold it.
Well, like,
I'm not surprised.
Well, remember what we said before, that everything is, like, a fan fiction. So, technically,
their stuff was straight up, like, ripped from other people. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
Not cool, yeah. Brothers Grimm.
What
not
did
cool.
we talk about copyright?
Yeah, what did we talk about infringement?
They're also on my post, like, afterlife fight list.
At least give a good stern talking to and figure out what really happened here.
I will say, though, I do enjoy their stories because they're really gory, but I didn't know that they stole them. Yeah. Like, stole stuff from them.
Well, so Europe had a lot of, like, a lot of fairy tales around Europe were the same, but they predated, like, written records of stories. Mm-hmm. And so they're just told from town to town. So, like, Germany and Switzerland and Sweden, like, all of these different places have their own versions of Rapunzel. And Brothers Grimm just wrote one down, and that's the one we know now.
Hmm. Interesting.
They've picked one. They're like, this one sounds good. That's ours.
I mean, going back to everything is a fan fiction. Again, the Headless Horseman has been cited from all over the world in all different cultures. However, a historian, Elizabeth Bradley, believes that Washington Irving got much of his inspiration from a poem. So the translation of the German poem Wild Huntsman is The Chase by Sir Walter Scott. He wrote that in 1776. It is much believed that Washington Irving got his inspiration from this poem. Obviously didn't copy it down word for word. He was not for that, but he got much of his inspiration from here. The Headless Horseman, we all know and love, is said to be loosely based off of a decapitated Hessian whose body was found in what is now Sleepy Hollow and was later buried by none other than the Van Tassel family in the old Dutch church burial grounds.
The Van Tassel family?
Yes, the Van Tassel family. The Van Tassels were real people. I get into it a little bit later. Oh, no, I get into it right now, apparently.
It is transitions, the
next
baby.
Thing. Also, I want it thrown out there that the old Dutch church is still standing. It was built in 1685, I believe is what the sign says. In the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, which I do have pictures of because our old coworker Emily has been up there and sent me stuff and pictures, and it's awesome. Yes, I will send pictures to Instagram. But yeah, it's still there. It's beautiful. The Sleepy Hollow Cemetery is one of the most gorgeous places I have ever laid eyes on. I want to go there real one day, but it's beautiful. It's old and it's gorgeous and everything.
Can I just say
amazing.
How much I really enjoy old cemeteries? And
oh yeah. Oh, I'll take you to one. There's one in McKinney that's amazing.
Oh my gosh, yes, because I love to go and just appreciate the gravestones and mm-hmm. everything, and like how peaceful it is. And
all right, so going back to the Van Tassels and how they were real people, it is known, very well known amongst, you know, authors and such, that Washington Irving liked naming his characters after people he had met in his life.
Names are hard to come up with when writing.
True, mm-hmm. but he just likes using people's names. The name Ichabod Crane actually comes from an army captain Irving met while in Sackett's Harbor, New York, during an inspection tour of fortifications of the wherever they were. Although, and as I did more research, I figured out that there is no actual evidence that the two met, but there was an army officer named Ichabod Crane. And it is said that that is who Ichabod Crane is named after.
I must not have liked this man too much.
I don't know, but Crane's personality was actually based around a Kinderhook school teacher that Irving met while living. Oh, shoot, I didn't write down where they were living, but that's okay. There's a school called Kinderhook, and he was a school teacher there, and that's who Crane's personality was based off of.
You did not like this man.
I guess not. Katrina Van Tassel was real, and her family was real. Irving actually stayed with them and her family for a short period of time. And I forgot to quote it down here. I forgot to add a lot of things in here that I wanted to add. I believe he asked her if he could use her name in his story. And she asked him why he did that. And basically he was like, I just like naming my characters after people I meet. So yeah, he had permission to use her name and her family's name. So that was cool. Northern Tarrytown borders the Hudson River and was not named Sleepy Hollow until 1997, only 2 years before Tim Burton's forever iconic The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was released in theaters. I thought that it was named that for promotional value for the film, but apparently that was just kind of a town thing where they were like, yeah, let's just rename it Sleepy Hollow. That's what he called us. So he is buried there. He's buried within the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery in his own like little family plot. You can go see it. It's very cool. I, again, have never been, but I want to. But I've seen many, many, many pictures.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
He lived, if I'm not mistaken, he lived right outside of Sleepy Hollow in a place called Sunnyside. They called it Sunnyside Cottage or something like that. And you can have videos or see videos on YouTube of that because it's very beautiful. And I could be wrong. I could be thinking the wrong thing, but I'm pretty sure it's Sunnyside. So this is wildly considered... Not wildly, but it is somewhat considered America's first, like, true ghost story. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. We're going to synopsize the book now for those of you, or for the short story, for those of you who have not read it. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow centers around Ichabod Crane, a school teacher, and his love troubles. Now, we're going back to the Headless Horseman. Preys on people who are arrogant and pompous, because that
less than great.
That was Ichabod Crane. He wasn't the greatest, and you know what, the movies would have you believe that he was the coolest guy ever and that Brom Bones can go suck a dick, but in fact Brom Bones, I mean, I can't say it for fact, but Brom Bones was like not as bad as the movies like made him out to be.
He's not like super antagonistic.
Yeah,
like,
he's not
antagonistic, but it's not like he's not a villain.
He's antagonistic for the purposes of the weird protagonist that we have in this story.
I would dare to say anti-hero.
Anti-hero. There you go. That's what Brom Bones was, because he wasn't, yeah, he was a jerk and he was like a what's it called? Prankster. Yeah. But he was very charming and very boisterous. And it just, Ichabod Crane, they didn't get along.
And he saw right through Ichabod Crane.
Mm-hmm. He really did. So, Ichabod Crane was a school teacher. He was strict, but he wasn't cruel. He made almost no money, so He often stayed with farmers, and they fed him and housed him for nights for teaching their children and whatnot. He taught singing lessons on the side. This is a weird little factoid about the story that I kind of forgot about. He taught singing lessons on the side to get extra money and was very prideful in his magnificent voice. He thought,
but it wasn't great. I bet you it wasn't great.
I mean, he wasn't a real person, so I don't know. But he apparently took a lot of pride in his magnificent voice and paid and wanted people to pay a lot for his
services.
Mm-hmm.
When you say it like that,
he had an insatiable hunger for finer things. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to marry rich. He wanted to be surrounded by extravagant things.
He wanted it all.
He wanted it all.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? Oh, Ichabod. He actually, and this is kind of fun, he loved ghost stories and believed in the supernatural. That was his big thing, is he loved telling ghost stories to the children and to anyone who would listen. He believed in the supernatural. He thought it was fun. So, let's get into Katrina Van Tassel, shall we? Ichabod Crane falls for 18-year-old student Katrina Van Tassel. She is one of his students. She is 18.
No, sir.
I don't think it ever says in the story how old Ichabod is, but definitely older. He's a school teacher.
Have you seen on Netflix Anne of Green Gables?
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there's
love.
There's also that plot point. Very similar plot point of the teacher and the student.
Yeah, exactly.
Still creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the times.
Very creepy.
The times. It doesn't make it okay, but the times.
Yeah.
So, he is immediately taken by her and, quote unquote, falls in love when he sees her father's abundant farm. So he's taken with her, but he doesn't fall in love with her until he comes across her and her family's abundant farm and sees how wealthy her family is.
So he's not really, or at least not until later, but he's not in love with her per se, but more in love with the family's money.
Yes, absolutely. At least that is very much so alluded to, that mm-hmm. he is not in love with Katrina, but is taken by her, but really wants the wealth that would come with marrying
gold
her.
Gold digger!
I ain't saying I'm a gold digger. Oh, but Ichabod,
check the prenup and
you
go
were. Nice.
Thank you. Six the musical.
Ah, yes. Anyway, all right. So, obviously, many other men were taken with Katrina. She was a very beautiful young woman. But namely, of course, Brom Van Brunt, a.k.a. Brom Bones, the anti-hero of our story. He very much so liked Katrina. I believe, for real, kind of suggests that he very much so likes her. Brom is something of a hero to his small village because of his charm, boisterous personality, prankster ways, and horseback riding skills, which, of course, were highly
sought after
mm-hmm. in a mate.
I feel like a mate
talking about, like,
Frankenstein's monster and his bride. I need a mate.
A mate. That sounds so primal, though.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm talking about cavemen. Like,
in a potential spouse.
Yes, and a potential mate.
No.
It's a very primal, like, dance that we are doing here. Hello?
I don't like thinking of it that way.
We're ruffling our
out.
Feathers for
oh,
us.
Oh, yes, we are. Well, peacocks.
Guys, we need boas.
So, obviously, Brom Bones was very sought after as well. He was, again, seen as kind of the little hero of his village.
Little?
Yes. Brom has run off many of Katrina's suitors in the past by various things, most commonly by intimidation. However, Ichabod avoids any confrontation with this man, which I feel to my core. He avoids any confrontation with this man, so it is very hard for Brom to shake him because he can't get anywhere near him because Ichabod hides.
Because he's a coward.
Yes. So, Brom
which
resorts.
Is okay.
Yes, it is okay. Brom resorts to a series of pranks to try to get to Ichabod since he can't get him face to face. He does many things. It listed them. I did not list all of them. He, like, fills the schoolhouse with smoke and does, like, various things to try to get under Ichabod's skin, run him out of town, annoy him, whatever. All in all, Ichabod is invited to a party at the Van Tassels and finds himself the man of the night. Everyone loves him. They want to be around him. They want to talk to him. And he's telling ghost stories, and it's
men
all a big thing.
Men want to be him. Women want to be with him.
Exactly. He finds himself very much so the man of the hour, you know? And he stays after the party to hang out with the family, help clean up, talk to Katrina, but ends up leaving disappointed because Katrina, well, ends up leaving upset because Katrina disappoints him. It just, he, apparently she just...
Always put it on the woman.
I know, right?
How did she disappoint him?
It seems as though she just wasn't what he hoped she was. Or something along those lines. I did not reread the story for this, but it was, she very much so disappointed him, so he leaves upset. On his way home that night, Ichabod is chased down by none other than the Headless Horseman. So he's passing a tree that is supposedly haunted when he sees a tall, dark figure on horseback, and it begins following him through the night. And he begins running, and obviously the horse begins running after him, and he turns around and he sees that it is a man who is headless and on a horse. Going back to the Headless Horseman chasing down people who are pompous assholes. Anyway, it is actually somewhere in history, for some reason, it is recorded that Headless Horsemen cannot cross running water, which is the big thing with the bridge. Like, when you cross the bridge, it doesn't follow you. So Ichabod goes running for the bridge. He goes to run across it, and when he runs over the bridge, the horseman follows him.
Horseman
the
next gives no fucks about laws.
No, horseman gives no fucks about the laws.
He's probably like, oh, I'm gonna be safe. I'll be okay. And then out of nowhere, oh shit.
Yeah.
No.
Running water didn't work.
What? That's gonna be my new thing for everything. I'm gonna run over some water and be like, shit. Let me go run over some water real quick. Fuck. Okay.
I can just imagine him being like, ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
You can give me.
I can do it. Wait, ha-ha. I can't do it.
Anyway, okay. So the next morning after the incident, Ichabod is nowhere to be found. The town goes looking for him. All they find are hoofprints and a smashed pumpkin, along with Ichabod's hat near the bridge. But Ichabod remains missing. Nobody knows where he went. Nobody knows why he went. Some of the townsfolk believe that Brom Bones was the one who attacked him and is responsible doing, you know, one of his pranks.
Serial killer.
Yeah. Brom Bones is a future serial killer. So maybe not as cool as we thought. But many maintain, mainly an older woman and then another townsperson, thinks he was taken by the horseman, although everyone else thinks that Brom Bones ran him out. And obviously putting him in the place to marry Katrina, which I don't remember if the story ends with them getting married, but it alludes to it. Mm-hmm. But yes, that is the story of the Headless Horseman. I have a bonus thing that I found while doing my research that I thought was really freaking cool. Texas, South Texas, has its very own Headless Horseman.
What?
Whoa.
Yes. South Texas apparently has its very own Headless Horseman called El Muerto.
Ooh.
El Muerto, or the Dead Man, was a Mexican bandit who was horribly slaughtered by Texas Rangers only to rise from the dead and ride again in vengeance. So, mid-1800s, a bandit named Vidal committed a crime in San Antonio that he could not run from. He was known for his horse rustling, or horse theft is basically what this is, which he already had a bounty for. And the horses that he was trying to steal, some of them anyway, were owned by Creed Taylor, who was a Texas Ranger. And Texas Rangers back then were very harsh, especially down there because the border between Texas and Mexico still wasn't decided. Things were very heated up and down there, so they were extremely harsh and unforgiving. The Texas Rangers mercilessly beat him and then beheaded him. They then strapped Vidal's corpse and his head to his horse and let the horse run free all through the region. It terrified, obviously, everyone it encountered because it had this horrible body on it,
yeah,
that was decaying
mutilated.
And mutilated. It is said that the horse was shot at many times but was immune to bullets. It became a local legend and people began shooting at it every time they saw it, and it was immune to bullets. Nobody could kill it. And this is when the legend of El Muerto was born. So eventually, the horse was finally captured, but sightings continued. In 1917, a couple on their way to San Diego claimed that they passed El Muerto screaming, "It's mine! It's all mine!" as he rode across the countryside. In 1969, it was supposedly spotted somewhere near Freer. I don't know where that is. These sightings continue, and they are so common down there, in fact, that there is a spot that has been renamed Headless Horseman Hill.
Huh. That's wild.
I had no idea. Hell yeah. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow is one of my favorite stories of all time, and I love the Headless Horseman lore, and I never knew that about Texas. So that was a really fun find.
So definitely road trip. Since it's more in our areas, we could definitely go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. But anyway, that was the legend of Sleepy Hollow. We all know I want to live there. Sleepy Hollow is one of the coolest places. If you've never looked up like Halloween and Sleepy Hollow on YouTube, just look it up. There's a YouTube channel called It's a Charming Life. Her and her husband are amazing, and they have all sorts of like walkthrough town videos that are so much fun to see. And then there's a couple other like travel-y ones. I believe there's a YouTube channel called, I'm gonna look it up, because they're really cool. They travel, but really only for Halloween, and they go different places like every Halloween whenever they can.
That sounds like a really fun, like,
I think it's called Ghouls, Guts, and Gore, I believe is what it's called. And they have a really great Sleepy Hollow one and a really great Salem one that I absolutely recommend. They see all the fun stuff. It's super, super cute.
That is a really cute little quirky like hobby to have as a couple. Like getting to go and travel and see all these like really cool things.
Yeah, it's super cool. I think they have a New Orleans one too. Yes, they do. They have a 3-part New Orleans Halloween and New Orleans series that's really fun. So yeah, I love Halloween in the Hollow is... Absolutely. They have the...
That's the cutest name for anything ever.
I know, right? They have the Blaze pumpkin jack-o'-lantern thing. You should absolutely look it up. It's called Blaze, and it's like 7,000 carved jack-o'-lanterns, and you get to walk through them and see all these cool sights, and they have like haunted houses and things like that, and it's so pretty. And then you get to do... Every weekend they have something different, but they always have the haunted walk through the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, and they have like a real life headless horseman.
I was gonna say, like, yeah. Do they have someone like?
Oh yes. Oh, okay. Oh they feed okay. into it. It's amazing. Okay. They have all this horseman
it's
stuff.
It's kind of how Salem really feeds into the witches. Like,
oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Year round, they have witches on their police cars. Mm-hmm. Like they feed into it.
Yeah, that's they love it. Cool. Sleepy Hollow has the headless horseman on all their stuff, on their police cars, on their everything.
Why can't I live in a cool town?
That's why I'm moving to Sleepy Hollow. Bye, bitches. I'm not staying here.
I mean, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, it's so much fun. I love to live vicariously through YouTube videos and pictures of Halloween down or up there, I should say, because it's
north.
North.
It's north. Yep.
I will one day live there.
Those who can't go, watch YouTube.
Yes, those who can't go, watch YouTube. And I had planned, it's always been, for the last like 5 years, I've been like, okay, on my birthday this year, I'm going to Sleepy Hollow. And it's always been ruined by something. And this year it was COVID. So next year on my birthday, I'm going to Sleepy Hollow because my birthday's in October and it's the perfect time. So I'm going.
Can we like stow away?
Can you stow away? Absolutely. Yeah, we'll go together. We'll go see Emily up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And then we'll cut across. She can come with us because it's just a train ride away from Philly.
Oh, my old vocal teacher lives in Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily's been sending me pictures.
I want to see Philly too.
Yeah.
I want to see like the whole like Northeast because I'm a massive history nerd.
Yep.
So I need to see it all, specifically New York, because I'm also a Hamilton nerd. And so I need to see all
of
New York.
There is a bridge that terrifies me when we, like, used to drive through New York to get up to Mass. And it terrified me because I have a fear of bridges.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
bridges
I love bridges.
Water. Bridges over water.
Bridges over water. You are the headless horseman.
You're a ghost. Cat, we have to go run over running water right now. Turn on the bath!
Turn on the bath!
No, I mean, like, it terrifies me. So, like, there's, like, I think it's called the Washington Bridge. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Washington Bridge.
Are you okay, Monster?
Monster's crying down there. Is he all right?
Are you sure that was him or was that the chair?
It might have been the chair.
It might have been the chair. It sounded like Monster.
But, like, there was a bridge, like, every time we would go over it to, like, get through New York, I have a huge panic attack, like, cry panic attack.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's a bridge that I can never take you on that's over here then. Or actually, it's more towards Dallas.
Is it the one you did your first episode on?
No, not that one.
We have to, you just, like, I close my eyes and just try to distract me with...
No, it's wait, we'll never have to go over it, but there's
tell you
one...
to close your eyes before we get over the bridge, and we're like, we're not over it yet, it's okay, just keep your eyes
closed. Yeah, that's basically what I ask people to do, like, if we're in a car.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us at our Spooky Time Tea Party. Don't forget to spread the spook by sharing with your friends and family, or whoever else you think might enjoy our show. If you have a story you would like us to share, or for us to talk about, you can email us at spookytimetea@gmail.com. And don't forget, tomorrow we are having a very special Halloween episode that we're very excited about.
A Halloween spooktacular.
Halloween spooktacular. We're very excited about it. I'm hoping we can make it extra long, just for funsies.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That'll be great. It's all three of us, too. So
yeah, it's all three of us.
Extra long episode.
Yes. Yes, we're hoping it'll be a little bit longer. It's going to be all three of us talking about one thing. So we're very, very excited. Anyway, don't forget to spread the love. If you would like to support us, you can go onto Anchor FM, find Spooky Time Tea, and there is a support us button. Or you can just share and comment. We love to talk to you guys on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere.
Email us.
We love to talk to you guys. Almost one of us at any point in time is stalking social media, so
constantly,
we will almost always reply.
Also, if you guys can go to any of the links that give you a chance to leave a review and rating, if you could leave us a review and rating, we would absolutely appreciate it.
Yes,
it
really we love
helps,
it.
It really helps boost us up the charts. It helps people find us, and we really want to share these stories with anyone else that would enjoy them. So
we love what we do, and we want to keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's been really fun.
It's been an adventure with you guys.
And yes. It's only been, what, this is 9 episodes?
Somewhere around there, 9 episodes.
So this is episode 9.
Wow.
This is like 9 episodes.
Halloween episode tomorrow is going to be episode
10.
Wow, that worked out so well.
Yes. Here's the thing. It was all part of the plan.
Right. Of course it was. Because we didn't think of the Halloween episode last week or anything.
Shh. Don't tell them that we don't plan things out.
Anyway, you guys, thank you so much again for joining us. Remember, don't throw jack-o'-lanterns at people. Don't try to run over running water if for some reason you're being chased by a ghost. For God's sakes, wear a mask and stop parking your car on train tracks. We love you all, and sweet dreams.